Well, once again, Merry Christmas to all of you. We're still celebrating the 12 days of Christmas as we celebrate the Feast of the Epiphany today. I imagine most of us here have seen the bumper sticker on cars this time of year where it says, "Wise men still seek him," you know, referring to the journey of the Magi in the search of Jesus. I'm going to use that as a second part of my homily, but the first part of the homily will be a reflection on the liturgical feast that we call the Epiphany. The word Epiphany means manifestation. I don't know if we know what the word manifestation means. It means showing forth or revealing. And just as the angel revealed who Jesus was to the shepherds who represented the Jewish people, the church celebrates today's feast where the star reveals to the Magi Jesus as the manifestation of Jesus to the Gentile world, to people who were not Jews. You know, the Magi were probably astrologers, magicians from Iran, from Persia. The Persians were really pagans in the eyes of the Jews, foreigners in every respect, practicing things contrary to the scriptures. And yet to these people, God sent a star to draw them to Jesus. And today's scripture readings are all about that mystery of the pagans, the Gentiles, being drawn to Jesus. Our first reading today is from the prophet Isaiah. And what this reading does is present to us a picture of all the nations of the world coming to Jerusalem. And the language that is used here is language that would help describe the nativity scene as we celebrate the Feast of the Epiphany. It says here, "Nations shall walk by your light." You know, Jerusalem is seen as a light on a hill. "And kings," you know, the three kings or magi, "by your shining radiance. Caravans of camels," you know, camels are associated with the Feast of the Epiphany, "shall fill you. Dromedaries," which is another word for camels, "from Midian and Ephah, all of Sheba shall come bearing gold and frankincense and proclaiming the praises of the Lord." So that when the church looked at the Old Testament and saw this reading, the church saw in this reading a prophecy of what would happen that first Epiphany. Camels and kings and gold and frankincense, the whole world being drawn to the Savior of the world, Jesus Christ. And in our second reading today, St. Paul talks about a revelation that he had received. Now, the word revelation in Christian tradition has a special meaning. It means something you can't come to on your own through your intellect, working it out. A revelation is something that comes from outside our human reflections as an instruction from God. So St. Paul says this, "Brothers and sisters, you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given me for your benefit." You know, he is talking to his Jewish brothers and sisters. He said, "Now God has called me to be a prophet, an apostle rather, for your benefit." And he goes on to say, and the mystery was made known to me by revelation. There's a mystery, something that's beyond our intellect, that's been made known to him by a revelation. And this is what he says is that mystery. "It was not made known to people in other generations, as it has been now revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Holy Spirit, namely that the Gentiles," the non-Jews, "are co-heirs," means heirs with, "members of the same body," the people, "and co-partners in the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel." You know, the Jews thought they were God's chosen people, because it was true. But St. Paul says that it was revealed to him by God, this great mystery, but from now on, because of Jesus Christ, all the nations of the world are co-heirs, co-partners, and of the same body as the Jewish people. In other words, God doesn't make distinctions. God loves everyone. And Jesus came for the world, symbolized by the Magi coming at the Epiphany. Now, we're used to this thought because we're Gentiles, most of us here. We take it for granted that the gift of salvation is offered to us as well as to the Jews. But to St. Paul, who was a very faithful Pharisee, this was an incredible mystery, something beyond their imagination, that Jesus is for all people. Now, what does this do for us practically? Well, are all the peoples of the world coming to the Christ child or coming to Jesus? And the answer is, of course, no. Even in our own families, we have many people now who don't practice the faith. And so there's a lot of work to be done. If Jesus has come for all people, the church has a missionary identity, which is to do all we can to bring all people in the world to Christ Jesus. You know, so those of us who are Christians aren't relativists about, you know, all religions being the same, because they're not. There's only one source of salvation in the world, and that is Jesus Christ, who died for all people and rose from the dead for all the world. And you and I have the duty, by word and by our example, to draw all the rest of the world to Christ, beginning with our family and friends, those who have fallen away from Him, but also embracing the whole of the world. So it's an invitation for us to embrace the missionary identity of the church. You all know, remember, I'm sure, Pope John Paul II. He didn't die all that long ago. But one of the practices that he had on the Feast of the Epiphany was to ordain bishops in Rome for every continent of the world. It was always an interesting time to try to guess who was going to be picked to be ordained a bishop in Rome on the Feast of the Epiphany. There's always somebody from the United States or from Canada. There's always somebody from Africa, from Asia, from South America, from Australia, from Oceania. And what John Paul II was trying to do is to symbolize in that act this notion that Christ is for everyone and the church has a missionary dimension. So on this Feast of the Epiphany, we ask the Lord that to make us a light, like a star, that leads other people to Christ, so that the Epiphany might be relived by us in our time in the church today. So that's the liturgical meaning of this Feast of the Epiphany. But I think we also like these kind of romantic stories about the coming of the Magi and what that symbolizes in and of itself. You know, I read, as I was preparing for this homily, a passage where someone was talking about the Magi were like Abraham, which seemed like an interesting concept. You know, remember Abraham, who was the father of the Jewish people, was called by God at a very old age to leave everything behind and go to the promised land. And because of his faith, his willingness to take God at his word, the Jewish nation came into being, and Abraham became the father of all the Jewish people, all the nations of the world, ultimately through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And the Magi were like that too. You know, these were Iranian astrologers who were willing to leave everything behind, you know, what they were doing in their home country, in order to follow that star in search of God's revelation. And they're symbolic, Abraham and the Magi, of God's call to each of us here. We too are called to leave behind everything in search of Jesus. You know, today is the third day of 2016. We have 362 days left in this year of grace. And we should commit ourselves on this Feast of the Epiphany to become pilgrims of grace in search of the Lord Jesus in this new year that he's given us. You know, as they were searching for Jesus in today's gospel, the Magi ask advice of the scribes and the leaders in Jerusalem. As we search for Jesus, that should be part of our pattern, that we seek the advice of those who've gone before us. I always encourage people here at the cathedral to try to read the lives of saints, you know, because the saints have done what you and I are called to do. And they were persistent at pursuing this path towards Jesus. In today's gospel, they consulted the scriptures for where Jesus might be. How many of us consult the scriptures in our search for the Lord? You know, unfortunately for Catholics, the Bible is sometimes just a book on a shelf rather than part of our daily life. And we really should make a commitment to the Lord and to ourselves as we begin this new year to make the Bible a partner in our journey to the Lord. If you don't have a Bible, you need to buy one. And if you're really clever, you'll buy a small one so you can put it in your pocket and carry it with you on your daily journey and actually pull it out once in a while and read it. You know, those of us who are priests and religious have obligations to pray what we call the Liturgy of Hours every day. We pray for the church, for all of you. Not in place of you, but for you. You're supposed to pray for yourself, you know. But most of the Liturgy of Hours is scripture. You know, reading the Bible, which shows us where Jesus is. That should be part of the pattern of our Christian journey. And of course, they followed a star, which was God's direct intervention to lead them to Jesus. And we should ask the Lord for the grace at the beginning of this year and throughout the year to discover the Lord where God wants us to discover him. Ask for the grace of curiosity and the grace of fidelity in the pursuit of following Jesus. One thing we don't think of very much is that the Magi, first of all, discovered this path of going to Jesus by their day-to-day work. They were astronomers or astrologers, and it was because of their work that they grew curious about where the new king of the Jew might be born. And in our ordinary work, in our lives, in our families, in our places of business, in our schools, the Lord is there revealing himself to us, helping us to discover a path towards him. So we ask the Lord to help us imitate the Magi, because it is true that wise men and women still seek him, and we want to be part of the wise. I'd like to close with a short passage from one of the writings of St. John Vianney, who is a patron of parish priests and of all priests. Reflecting on this feast of the Epiphany, he said this, "Oh, when will that blessed day come on which we shall do as the wise men did, and leaving everything else, give ourselves to God. You see here plainly, my brothers and sisters, that the merit of the true faith consists in this, that we sacrifice all that we love best to obey the voice of grace that calls to us. That we sacrifice all that we love the best to obey the voice of grace that calls to us." Abraham did that. The three Magi did that. And the Lord invites us to do the same. Happy Feast of the Epiphany. You know, by the way, I just made a terrible mistake. We don't know if there were three Magi or not. There were three gifts, but the scriptures don't say how many Magi there were. You know, we just presume there were three. So don't let anybody trick you with a trick question about how many Magi were there, because we really don't know.